Good afternoon, everyone. Come on, good afternoon, everyone. We greet you in the grace, peace, joy, and love of God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love to the family. Thank God for his love that we can share with one another. Come on, if you know God has been good to you, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Man, we're so excited, so grateful, so thankful to the Lord that God has allowed our moments to roll on just a little while longer. It's Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. This is the high holy day of the Christian church as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and grateful that God has allowed our moments to roll on just a little while longer. So thankful for all of you here, especially those of you who have brought your babies here to be dedicated today so that we can bless them. If there's ever a time that our children need to be prayed over and prayed for, we sure do need it now. Amen. I remember when I was a kid and I would hear people talk about, you know, how they wouldn't have any children. They wouldn't want to bring children into the craziness of the world. And I don't know if the world has gotten crazier or not, but I know children are still being born. Amen. And our hope and our future is in their hands. And so today we have an opportunity to cover them in prayer. But we want to celebrate today in a genuine way, with fidelity, the resurrection of our Lord. And we're thankful for everybody who is present. We've had a great week this week. Our children celebrated their big Easter program on Wednesday. And on Wednesday night, I know some of you were out here. It was a great, great event. The message got all crisscrossed because I sure wanted to be here to celebrate our children, but I understand there's about 200 plus people who were here to celebrate our children. We started doing it live on Wednesday night, so all of the meemaws and the pawpaws that go to other churches can come and see their grandbabies. And it was a great, great event, and I want to thank our entire children's ministry team for doing a tremendous job in pouring into the lives of our children, planting good seed in them, and watering and nurturing that seed. People come to faith. Some 80-85% of people come to faith before 18 years of age. And the earlier we can help our children to learn those basic principles and learn to have a God-centeredness in their life, the better off we will be. And so we're grateful and thankful to the Lord for that. Rooted and Grounded, make some noise. So for those of you who may be here and you may be wondering what is Rooted and Grounded, Rooted and Grounded is our discipleship culture. You're not here to make me a big pastor or us a big church. We're here to help you become the biggest and best Christian you can possibly be. For those who are watching, we thank you for the privilege of your time. Thank you for allowing us into your space to inform your head, inspire your heart, and encourage your spirit. And we want you to like us and love us and share us with family members and friends. Let them know there's never been a better time for hope. Rooted and Grounded specifically is to help people who need Jesus know Jesus, and more importantly, to help people who know Jesus grow in Jesus so they can live out that faith every day. Christianity is not about how much you know, it's how much you live. It's not about how much you learn, is do you put it into practice? And we are thankful to the Lord for that. Is Hilton? He left? Okay. And so we're grateful. I just thought about something that crossed my mind. So we're really, really thankful and grateful for that. And I've got a testimony, especially for all of the men. All of the men. All the men say, hey. All right. All the brothers, listen, I want to encourage you to sign up. Our Rooted groups will start next week. Today is the last day to register for a Rooted and Grounded group. We have a Rooted curriculum, purpose-driven life, and we have two men's groups that are for men only. I want to encourage you to sign up, but the sisters, you can sign up as well. We've got a great testimony, though, I want you to hear today around being part of Rooted and Grounded.
Alan, I am excited to share with you my experience with Rooted and Grounded. For me, like so many others, you really find yourself wearing a lot of different hats. And with all those different hats, you have different expectations. Whether for me, it's being a dad, a husband, a son, an attorney. And the outside world really not only weighs down on you, but makes you put on this shell. I didn't realize how thick that shell, that armor I had put on, was until I joined a Rooted and Grounded group. And just talking to other men in my group about their personal experiences and kind of the things that they've gone through that were very similar to me really allowed me to kind of relax, to kind of clear my head and clear space for me to get closer to God, to learn more scripture. And I mean, it's interesting because I was even self-conscious as a pastor's kid. You know, I mean, I was afraid people would expect me to know, you know, the Bible backwards and forwards. And that wasn't the case at all. I think it's something that everyone will benefit from, because at the end of the day, having these spaces to be you and learn more about you and your relationship with God is really what life is all about. So guys, I encourage you, absolutely get off the fence if you are about whether or not I should join a Rooted and Grounded group, especially a guys group. It is a great space, a great place to learn and make some new friends and brothers in Christ.
So you probably know I've known that guy for all his life, right? Yeah, that's my youngest son, Brandon. Brandon was actually in my Rooted group, group of brothers shared together, man. And I so appreciate, you know, when he came to this church, when I came here now 30 years ago, he was around 5 years old. And so we've watched him grow and part of the children's ministry, and just grateful for the investment that has been made in him early on and the man that he has become. And I just want to remind all of you that the investment that you make in your children is an investment in their future. And when you leave your children behind, that's the legacy that you leave to the world. Let's go to God in prayer and ask God's blessings on our time today. Father, we thank you and bless you this day for your word. We pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you can think about at least one area in your life where you would like to improve, where you would like to do something different, get better? Maybe professionally you want to get better. You want to be able to get that promotion, be able to get that new job, that new position. Maybe you want to learn more, get that degree, whatever the case may be. Maybe you want to do better personally in terms of your own life and your own living, in terms of relationships and the like. You want to find that relationships that's going to work. You don't want to find somebody that you can spend a night with. You want to find somebody you can spend a lifetime with, right? Maybe you're thinking about challenges in your life, strongholds that you want to overcome, places that you want to get better in terms of who you are, in terms of your character, in becoming who God wants you to be. Each one of us has a desire to do better in at least one area of our life. Most of us can probably think about multiple areas where we're like, hey, yeah, I really would like to improve in several areas in our life. Here's what I've learned in life, my brothers and sisters. What keeps us from doing all that we can to become all we want to be consistently is not a lack of desire. It's typically a lack of discipline that is not rooted in our lack of wanting to do it, but not having the power to do it. We typically will focus on our power in terms of how we can do the best that we can. So we hear things like, hey, man, you got to have willpower. But how many of you know willpower doesn't work when your will has no power, right? You may have heard about the power of positive thinking, but it's hard to think positively when you're constantly being plagued by negative thoughts. You may have heard somebody talk about envisioning a better future. And some psychologists will say if you sit and meditate and you envision positive things happening, then those positive things are going to happen. But it's hard to envision a positive future when you're being held back by a painful past. Each one of us goes through things in life, and the challenge for all of us is how do we do what we know we need to do and keep doing it so we can benefit from the decisions that we make? For a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, the power to become great for God. The power to become great for God. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. If you're wrestling with children right now, just get a blank one and go back on Facebook or YouTube and fill it in later on, all right? The power to become great for God. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is praying for the believers. He's praying for the saints. And Paul is praying because he recognizes that even as believers, those he is writing to at the church at Ephesus, they are still not living out their full potential in God. A lot of people think you've got to be a Christian to live out your full potential, but I'm here to tell you there are a lot of Christians who are not living out their full potential in God. Three things I want you to see today, and then we're going to move forward and get these babies blessed and get y'all on home, all right? Here we go. Number one, if you're going to become great for God, you need to realize God has all the power you need to become great for Him. God has all the power you need to become great for Him. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 19, the text says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power. Now, God uses a bunch of words here to talk about how great He is. He says, you will understand the incredible, that's one word, greatness, that's the second word, of God's power. That word power, the word dunamis, it is said that Alfred Nobel, who is the person after whom the Nobel Peace Prize is named, he created this explosive. And this explosive was so powerful, and it was to be used for the benefit of mankind, and he was trying to find a word that would give us the idea of the power of this explosive, and he came up with the word dynamite. And it is said that that word dynamite was his playing with the word dunamis in the Greek language. Dunamis speaks to an incredible force, an ability, a might, a strength, and he says in the text, Paul, that God's power, His incredible power, you and I have to understand it. Then he throws in the word incredible, which means exceeding, unlimited, immeasurable. He uses the word megathos, where we get the word megathon from, to talk about the greatness of God's power. So it's almost like Paul is saying His power is so powerful that it's beyond any powerfulness that you could ever think, ask, or imagine. It is just that kind of power. If you've ever seen somebody, for example, or maybe heard somebody describe a beautiful woman and they said, she's beautiful. And then if they really wanted to add to it, they said, no, she's not just beautiful, she's gorgeous. No, she's not just gorgeous, she's beautiful, gorgeous. She's stunning. She's amazing. She's a goddess. Right? When they start using all of those adjectives, you start thinking, man, now who is this? Because I don't even know if I want to see her. Like, she's that beautiful. She's that gorgeous. She must be Eve herself, right? But we're literally piling on adjectives just to take it to the next level. That's what Paul does when he talks about the power of God. He says God is incredible. His power is incredible, and His power is great. And Paul says you and I have to recognize that this power is available for us. This is the same power that Paul says that not only raised Jesus from the dead, set Him next to the Father, gave Him authority over all the world, and put Him over the church. He said that's how powerful this power is. But watch the second thing. Number two, you need to realize God wants you to use His power to change your life. God wants you to use His power to change your life. I know you came here for the baby, but God has a word for you today. And God says He wants you to use His power to change your life. Watch what He says, verse 19. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. We celebrate resurrection power today, y'all. But Paul says it's the same mighty power that's available for us. Everybody say for us. He says no matter where you are in life or in living, it's available for you. Now, somebody may say, well, you know what, Pastor, I'm here today. I'm here to get my baby blessed. I want my baby dedicated to the Lord, but I'm not really a Christian. Guess what? The power's available for you as well. You say, well, I am a Christian, but I don't really come to church that much. He says that power's available for you too. He says it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available, Paul says, for us. For us. That we have an opportunity to access that power. Can I tell you one of the mistakes we make in life? We typically try to live according to our power. We try to glean as much power as we can. We try to borrow somebody else's power instead of resting, relying, and depending upon the power of God. God has already provided all the power you need to get done all you want to do. You saw my youngest son earlier, Brandon, and it's interesting because I have three children who grew up in the household. All of them ate out of the same pot, slept under the same roof, put their feet under the same table, but all of them are different. My oldest son, Marcus, if he walked in, you would look at him and say, is that your dad? I know that's your dad, right? I mean, I spit him out, right? And he has this crazy personality. He has this like charisma, this charm. I mean, he walks in a room and he just, I don't care where it is, he can take the air out of the room. Like he just got that presence about him, right? But he works really, really hard not to be my son. Like even though he looks just like me, like there's no question if you saw him, you'd be like, oh yeah, that's your dad and that's your son. But wherever he goes, when somebody says, oh, your dad is, he's kind of, yeah. Troy, you know how that is, right? When you go somewhere, you say, Troy Owens, man, you look just like Roy Owens, you know, right? Like they look and they like, and so he goes to the registrar. He goes to register. He's at TSU. He's taking some classes up there, and he's having some trouble in the registrar's office until they find out he's my son. And one of the ladies says, you Marcus Cofield? You know Pastor Cofield? Yeah, that's my dad. Oh, man, tell your pops, I say, hey, man, your pop, man, looked out, man. Your pop, he's so nice, man. He looked out for me. No more trouble in the registrar's office. Right? Wherever he goes, he meant, now, he works hard not to be my son. Brandon, on the other hand, oh, he knows how to leverage that thing. Man, Brandon, I got to tell you all this funny story. So it's prom time. So, you know, prom time, him and his boys got their girlfriends, and they rent a car, and they're going to go pick up all the girls. They're going to all ride together. But, you know, when the guys come to pick up the young ladies, dad's got to run their little check on them, right? And dad's, you know, hey, man, you know, tell me your name, where you from, who your people are, what's your intentions with my daughter? You know, and I think one time, somebody who's picking up a daughter for a prom says, sir, my intentions are the same that you had when you took your, you know. He probably won't get out the house then, right? So, anyway, man, they're going down, they're grilling all the guys, and then they get to Brandon. Son, what's your name? Brandon Cofield. Cofield. You related to Pastor Cofield? Yes, I am. I am his son. Son, come on out of line. Let me talk to you a little bit. Man, your dad is the coolest guy. He had no problems with that dad, right? Because he knows how to leverage it. He knows how to work it. And God says, here's the problem, child of God. Too many of you don't know how to work the fact that my power is available to you. So you busy trying to do it on your own instead of walking in and trusting in the power of God. Look at A. The power of God can help you conquer anything that has held you back in life. That's what God says. He says, whatever has been holding you back in life, it's the power of God that can release you and set you free. But not only can the power of God conquer anything that has held you back. Look at B. God has the power to help you do anything you want to accomplish in your life. So here's basically what God says. Resurrection power. It will not only address what is holding you back in your past, but it'll help ensure you to have the best future you can have. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 4 at the end, he says, now we also may live new lives because God's power is available to change your life. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you need to realize God's power is only available when you put your trust in Jesus Christ. God's power is only available when you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Watch what the text says. The text says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. Now listen to me carefully, because when the text says those who believe him, that word for believe is an interesting word. It speaks to placing confidence in, putting trust in, relying upon. And here's what God basically says. God says, when you are in a place when you need power, you need to make sure that you do all you can to access it. Now remember, he's not talking to those who don't know Jesus. He's talking to Christians. And he says, you got to believe him. You got to put your trust in him. And so today I want to challenge each of you to think about what it means to trust God. See, I've learned in life both saint and sinner has to reprioritize God at the center of their life and their living. To say, I believe you, to say, I trust you, to say, I'm going to depend upon you. Too many of you have been depending upon yourself. How's that working out for you? Up and down, more down than out, up, more out than in, and the blessings of God has missed you. And God says, no, I have the power to do what nobody else can do. The question is, will you believe me? Will you trust me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you for this day. We pray now, God, that everything that we have done and said has been pleasing in your sight. God, as we come today to dedicate these children, to bless them today, to ask your blessings upon them, that their families would recognize that we're not only blessing them, but we are blessing their entire family. We thank you, God, for the decisions that will be made for you today. And we pray that as those decisions are made, that they would be made with sincerity and that people would dedicate themselves to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.